Hey, it's E.B. Moss, and this is Insider Interviews, where you get the insider's scoop on the business of media, marketing, and advertising. I met Linda Bethay, and I was instantly wowed by her. You're going to be also. She's the head of marketing for Danone North America, and she leads an entire cross-functional team across like 20 of some of the most favorite brands that a lot of us eat for breakfast and use to power through during the day. There's my Stokes coffee in the background. Hi, Linda. Thanks for joining.
Thanks so much for having me.
What did you have for breakfast today?
So I always start my day with cereal and Silk unsweetened vanilla almond milk. It's my favorite product of ours.
Okay. Well, I am a big fan of Silk oat milk. I also add International Delight to my coffee. You know, the interesting thing about that is that, as I mentioned in the intro, Danone has a ton of well-known brands. What are the brands that you work on, for example? All of them?
Yes, actually. So Danone is a top 15 food and beverage company here in the U.S., and we have a wide portfolio of brands. So you mentioned International Delight Coffee Creamer, which is one of our largest brands. And hopefully you saw that we just launched a limited time offering inspired by Friends, one of the most popular shows of all time. So we launched a Manhattan Hazelnut Mocha inspired by the coffee on the menu at Central Perk. So you'll have to check that out.
Love.
But we also have a wide variety of other brands across dairy, plant-based, and ready-to-drink. So you mentioned Stoke ready-to-drink coffee, one of our fastest-growing brands. We also have Evian water, Oikos yogurt, Light and Fit, Activia, Danimals. The list goes on and on.
I have to say, I love the name Danimals.
It's fun to say, isn't it?
Yeah, and you have to know your stuff if you're marketing to a whole slew of consumers, including parents of little kids. Now, you also worked on something that I've often had after dinner, Captain Morgan, on one of the Diageo brands. Tell us about your eclectic food and beverage path to how you got to Danone.
Yeah, I've been very privileged to work on a wide variety of iconic brands. I started my career at PepsiCo, working at Frito-Lay on Lay's potato chips. And when I joined, it was actually a very challenging time in the potato chip category where we were facing increased competition from private label brands. And so we had to reinvent Lay's as a beloved brand worth paying more for. So we relaunched it, repositioned it, and we were actually the fastest growing CPG brand that year, winning two Effie Awards. And so that was a great foundational experience. I also had the opportunity to work on developing new brands while at Frito-Lay. One of my most favorite projects ever was designing a line of snacks to pair with wine. I love drinking wine and I love consuming snacks with my wine. So it was the perfect fit. And then from there, I moved over to the beverage side of PepsiCo's portfolio. I spent several years on our joint venture with Unilever on our iced tea brands, Lipton, Brisk, and Pure Leaf iced tea. And then also worked on our waters portfolio. At that point in time, water in the U.S. was outpacing the sale of soda, carbonated soft drinks. So we shifted our focus to accelerating the growth of our waters portfolio. We relaunched Aquafina, and then we launched Life Water in the premium still space and Bubbly in the sparkling water space, both of which are two of my favorite products to this day.
Yes.
And then after about 10 years at PepsiCo, I decided to move over to what I call the fun side of beverages, where I joined Diageo managing their North American rum portfolio. As you mentioned, Captain Morgan is their flagship rum brand. And we had a great experience turning around that brand in the U.S.
Wow. I love everything you mentioned there. And that clearly paved the way for you to be at a slew of additional products at Danone. I do want to talk a little bit more about our favorite foods and what some of the mile markers were on your career path. But, you know, when we spoke a little while ago, you suggested that one of the things that we bring up is an area of passion for me and for you as well, which is brand purpose. And thanks to you, I've been asking all of my season two guests what they mean by brand purpose and what it does for a company. So since you suggested that question, and I consider you one of the foremost experts in it now, tell me what brand purpose is and what you think it does for a company.
A brand's purpose is its reason for being, why it exists in the world. And this is incredibly important because today's consumers are looking for brands and companies who stand for something, who share their values. This became increasingly important during COVID. We saw that consumers said they believed brands should be doing something to help during the pandemic. This became incredibly important over the past few years with social justice movements. Consumers want brands that take a stand and have a strong point of view and make a positive impact in the world. And building brands with purpose that have a positive impact in the world is core to everything we do at Danone. We have a very rigorous process here called our brand manifesto model, where we're building brands with purpose that can deliver that good in the world.
Brand manifesto, it almost sounds like a take over the world intention. And I hope that that's the case. What are some of the things that are on that manifesto?
So it is the foundational document for each one of our brands that highlights its reason for being, as well as its role in achieving our broader corporate mission. We have anchored our company around this concept of one planet, one health. We want to deliver health through food to as many people as possible in a way that positively impacts people and the planet. And each of our brands plays a unique role in doing that. So I mentioned Silk is one of my favorite brands in our portfolio. Silk believes that plant-based living can save the planet, which is a very lofty goal. But we're on a mission to show people that their nutritional needs can be met by plant-based food and beverages, and that we can make choosing plant-based as easy as possible by making it as delicious as possible. So it's all about delivering good tasting food and beverage that can help save the planet.
Linda, this is a topic that is near and dear to my heart and to my stomach, having been an ovolactopesca vegetarian since I was 15
That's
years
a
old.
That's
literally. So I don't eat things with a face on the land. Anyway, I also interviewed in season one the founder of Sustainable Brands, Coanne Skrzyniers. I'll add a link to that in the show notes. But I learned so much from attending the Sustainable Brands Conference back in the day that I would love for you to help educate folks on some of the terms that come with being a B Corp. What is it, and how did Danone earn its B Corp stripes?
Excellent question. Many people do not know that Danone is one of the largest B Corps in the world. And it actually started 50 years ago when our then CEO came up with this idea of what he called a dual project. It was basically a trailblazing vision of corporate responsibility because he believed that companies should care as much about shareholder value as societal value. So truly the start of what I like to call performance with purpose. So he has these famous quotes where he says, a company's responsibility does not end at the factory or office doorstep. People's entire lives depend on the jobs it creates. And so that was a key driver on our path to becoming a certified B Corporation. And what that essentially means is you're using business as a force for good. You're equally committed to delivering upon your economic objectives, as well as doing good in the world and having a positive impact on people and the planet. And so we had set a goal to become a certified B Corp by 2020, and we actually achieved that status in 2018. And as I mentioned, we're now one of the largest B Corps in the world, and it is core to everything we do here at Danone.
Phenomenal. And sometimes that's also referred to as having a triple bottom line: people, planet, and profits. So I love that. And I love that you are always evangelizing the value of brand purpose and being authentic in that. Now, you head up the marketing for a lot of brands, as we teed up in the beginning. So how do you, as a marketer, make sure that you're aligning brand purpose and your values with consumer outreach? And is it equal across all brands?
I think it's something a lot of marketers struggle with. As I mentioned, we have our brand manifesto model and a set of strategic brand foundations that underscores everything we do. Our brand purpose, our brand personality, our tone of voice. All of those are living, breathing documents that guide how we show up in the world. And no, it's not equal across every brand. It truly depends on that individual brand's purpose. So I'll give you an example. Too Good is one of our fastest growing yogurt brands. We launched Too Good around this idea of basically doing more with less. So we're delivering a delicious tasting, low sugar yogurt, which is a great opportunity for consumers looking for healthier snacking options. But we're also committed to using less throughout the product manufacturing process. So everything we do in the making of Too Good is reducing food waste and emissions so we can have that impact on the planet in a positive way. And so some examples of how we bring that to life for consumers would be through the product itself. We have these great products in the portfolio called Good Save that are actually made with rescued fruit. So our Good Save lemon is made with rescued lemons that would otherwise go to landfills and contribute to the increasing food waste problem in the US as well as the carbon emissions. And so that's an example of bringing it to life through the product. We also bring it to life through our marketing communication. You can do good with Too Good because for every cup of yogurt you purchase, we donate an equal amount of food to someone in need. So again, that entire food cycle is inherent in what we do and making sure we're reducing food waste and helping with food insecurity.
That's so interesting. It reminds me of the early Tom's model when they would give away a pair of shoes for each pair purchased. Thank you for doing that on behalf of the planet and everyone. Phenomenal. You know, I am also a member of Buy Nothing, where in each respective neighborhood, it's, I think, a Facebook group, you communicate with your friends. Oh, I saw this out on the street and it still looked really good in terms of furniture or something. And then we even trade food that, you know, I tried this, I don't like it, but I've got 3/4 of a package left. There are people who take us up on this all the time. So I love that you're doing this at scale. And I know that you're also a single mom and you and your daughter happen to compost, right?
Yes. Working for a B Corp has really educated me on the impact that I can have, not just through work, but on a personal level as well. And I'll be honest with you, I was never a big recycler, really wasn't into that whole thing. We now have dedicated recycling bins. We have a food scrap container. She sometimes grumbles when I yell at her to, you know, put the things in the right places. But ultimately, it's our responsibility as citizens of this planet to do our part in preserving it for the future.
Well, that will lead me in a couple more questions down to how you see yourself as a leader and how you influence women in the world. So hold that thought about how you influence your daughter as a start. I do want to ask you, though, how you measure the success of your efforts that are tied to brand purpose and communicating those values. What's going on in the world of consumers now where you can sense some ROI?
Yeah, Danone, we believe you should measure what you treasure. And so we do employ a lot of traditional brand analytics. We do marketing mix analysis, multi-touch attribution. We measure our brand health and equity, all the things traditional marketers should be measuring on a regular basis. But we also measure impact. Again, we want to have a positive impact in the world, and you can't do that unless you're measuring the impact you're having. So for example, we measure the percent of products in our portfolio that have low sugar. We measure the percent of packaging that's 100% recyclable, reusable, or compostable. So we're measuring all of those key performance indicators to ensure that we're delivering against our mission.
And you are communicating that back. I know that you really believe in transparency. We'll use the example of the Rothy's going into Evian Great bottles. One. Talk a little bit about that.
So Evian has already started to measure, reduce, and offset their environmental footprint, right? Plastic water bottles, are often discussed as one of the main contributors to plastic waste in our environment. And so we're looking to ensure that every part of our supply chain on Evian is reducing that environmental impact. And in fact, in April 2020, Evian became the first known global brand to become carbon neutral. And so we're doing all of these great things behind the scenes. It's not always how you want your brand to show up with consumers. It's not always, you know, the most compelling or sexy message to talk about carbon neutrality. So how we brought that to life in a compelling way was through a partnership with Rothy's, which shares our values. And so Evian has been a longstanding sponsor of the U.S. Open Tennis Tournament. And we partner with Rothy's to create a limited edition tennis-inspired capsule collection that was made entirely from the bottles that were consumed at the U.S. Open.
That's phenomenal. I remember reading about Nike using recycled sneakers in basketball court pavement and things like that. So we're going from, you know, the head to the toe, which is fantastic.
It's a great way to highlight our commitment to sustainability, but in a way that's very relevant to the brand and its consumer audience.
And that is measurable and has impact on consumers. So what's an example of how you might express that in your marketing campaign without it sounding pandering or, you know, token-like in your sustainability efforts? I mean, you have the backing of it, but how do you specifically express that in a campaign?
It all comes down to authenticity. I think a lot of brands are jumping on the purpose or sustainability bandwagon, but consumers are a lot smarter than we give them credit for. And they know when a brand is just jumping on the bandwagon versus committed to it in everything they do. And so for us, Rothy's wasn't just a fly-by-night partnership. If you dig into truly how we produce the product and what we believe at Evian, everything we do is committed to sustainability. And so I think that shines through in our marketing efforts because it's at the core of the brand, its brand purpose, what we stand for.
So walking the talk, or is it walk the walk? I always mix them up, but...
Got to talk the talk and walk the walk.
Yes, there we go. All of the above. So when you were coming up through the ranks, I think that learning about this side of sustainability was new to you. Who guided you into a leadership role? Who were your sources of inspiration? Who did you learn from?
I've had a lot of great mentors throughout my career that I'm lucky to today call friends. And I think that's really important as you're progressing in your journey is to have trusted people that can serve as a sounding board. And so early in my career, I had a mentor who encouraged me to raise my hand and ask for a rotation into field sales at Frito-Lay. Frito-Lay is a direct store delivery company, which is powered by an army of on-the-ground salespeople that are in stores day in and day out delivering and merchandising our products. And this particular mentor thought that I would be a much better marketer if I understood the full ecosystem of how the business worked. So I raised my hand and I asked for a rotation. And I actually moved at that point in time from Dallas up to New York to work in one of our regional sales offices. And I was thrown into the biggest learning experience of my career. I wasn't just learning a new function, but I was learning how to be a leader without credibility or experience. I was all of a sudden responsible for managing the sales careers of mostly males who were significantly older than me. And so it was a really great learning experience, really tested me as a leader, and did ultimately make me a better marketer and a better leader in my career.
Okay, so you just teed me up perfectly when you described the fact that you, coming up in your career, were guiding probably tough sales guys and were used to doing things a certain way. So I'm going to tell you a little story. I don't know if you can see this little necklace that I wear, but it is a little microphone. And I got it from very inspiring women's leadership group called the Female Quotient, run by Shelley Zales.
Yes, very familiar with them, yes.
And this microphone stands for Use Your Voice. And Linda, do you know what else they sell? A necklace with a little hammer that reminds one to be a velvet hammer. Does that sound familiar to you?
Yes, unfortunately it does.
I did my homework.
You did. That was a nickname given to me earlier in my career for being the type of leader that gets things done, is not willing to have the hard conversations or make the tough decisions, but does so in a way that, you know, leaves people feeling good in the aftermath. So the velvet hammer has stuck with me throughout my career.
I'm so proud to speak with another emblematic woman. So I think that you're definitely known for getting things done. So I could use some guidance on how you personally move things from your to-do list to ta-da.
That's a great, great segue, to do to ta-da. I mean, I'm a very organized person. I find it really helps to have things mapped out and organized, right? As you mentioned earlier, I'm a single mom, so I'm juggling a lot. I'm juggling my work. I'm juggling my daughter's schedule. And, you know, we all talk about you can't have it all, but I think you can have, you know, what you need and what you want if you set yourself up for success. If you set the boundaries, if you stay organized, and you really leverage your team to help you get things done. I think that's one of the most important things as a leader, is to build a strong team that you trust and then empower them to get things done, right? I'm one person. I can't do it all. I need my team to step up and make brilliant things happen, and they do. And it's the most rewarding thing as a leader, to see that happen in the workplace.
I'm going to ask you for an example of something that made you really proud as a leader, perhaps something that expressed itself in the consumer marketing landscape. And then we're going to go to a crystal ball. So just to wrap up leadership, how would you support or recommend other females in the workforce learn to do their jobs better? Or how would you even give men advice who want to support female leaders growing themselves?
That's a great question. I think the most important thing anyone can do, male or female, is to never stop learning. Marketing, particularly as a discipline, evolves constantly. When I started my career, social media didn't even exist. And now that's one of the things I spend the most time on, is discussing our strategy for social media marketing. So I think you always need to be learning, both as a marketer and as a person. As a leader, be curious, really dig in to understand your people and the consumer, because that is what's going to make you a good marketer. Be courageous, be willing to take risks. I think women in particular often play it safe, and we need to be confident enough in our abilities to take the risk, even if you risk failure. You're not going to get that ta-da moment unless you fail a few times. And you have to be confident that if you fail, you'll get back up, you'll try again, and you ultimately will be successful. And I think you also need to be compassionate. We're all human beings. We get up and we go to work every day, but we're all motivated by different things and have other things going on in our lives. I may be having a bad day because I had a big fight with my 13-year-old in the morning about what she was going to wear to school. But having, you know, the vulnerability and authenticity to share that with my team so they understand where I'm coming from and can have compassion for me and vice versa. I hope they open up and share what's going on in their lives with me so I can be a more compassionate leader and we can work together to get things done. The other piece of advice I would give, particularly for women, is to always negotiate. Know your worth. Men oftentimes are not afraid to stand up and ask for the promotion, ask for the raise, or negotiate a better offer. The worst somebody can say is no. So always ask. And if they say no the first time, ask again. Be persistent and stand up for yourself. To your point, use your voice.
Yeah. That I love everything you just said. I'm going to bottle that perhaps in a bottle that is made from recycled Rothy's, but I want to bottle what
you use your Evian.
Okay. There we go. It's so true, Linda, because I have a friend who's a very senior executive for a big company and has been doing a great job for years and years. She was afraid to ask for an increase in salary when she had gotten a new title and new responsibilities 2 years earlier. She finally steeled herself, walked in, and the guy said, well, yeah, of course. So you don't ask, you don't get. And we often forget that because we are trying to please people. So thank you for illuminating that again. You talked about parenting and some challenges with that, but also I'm sure a lot of pride with your daughter. What have you been proud about in terms of your team? Something that they've come up with, a really cool campaign that came to fruition and you were just proud as a parent.
So unfortunately, the thing I'm most proud of right now, I can't speak about because we're about to announce it in about a month. But I'll give you a little teaser. We run a really large portfolio of brands. And so we have to make tough decisions on where to put our investment. Obviously, we have a number of huge brands like Oikos, which with our fourth year doing a Super Bowl spot and activation. So a lot of our fuel goes towards those types of big marketing events. Yet we have a lot of really great small brands in our portfolio, and I challenge the team not to be constricted by the dollars you're given. Really think as big as possible and find ways to make an impact on culture with your brand. And so we have some really exciting news that we're about to announce on one of your favorite brands, Stoke Ready to Drink Coffee. So stay tuned for that announcement. But I think those are the types of things that make me proud, is when people aren't restricted in what they're doing. They are willing to take risks. They're willing to think differently and bring great ideas to the table.
Oh, that's great. I will also shill a little bit as soon as we can after Super Bowl weekend. I will be interviewing another fierce female leader in marketing, Jen Kavanaugh of the Philadelphia Eagles. So I'm glad that you teed that up.
Unfortunately, I'm a Patriots fan, not an Eagles fan. But
you know, okay, we can't all be perfect. So
nope.
But that's awesome. I'll look forward to that, and I'll also add the payoff in the show notes. So let's wrap things up with a couple of things around content. This is a crystal ball moment, and it's a two-parter, Linda. So the first is, what are you seeing as a media trend that you really can't wait to leverage? You might be bullish on the metaverse or podcasting. And then the second trend is, what are you seeing in consumer trends? You know, like we talked about plant-based foods or something else. So those two topics, what's in your crystal ball? What are you seeing and loving?
I wish I had a crystal ball. It would make my life so much easier.
Yes.
I think from a media standpoint, the jury's still out on the metaverse. I don't think marketers have figured out a consistent way to have an impact there. So we are keeping a close eye on it, but we haven't jumped into the metaverse quite yet. I think You mentioned podcasting. I would broaden that to kind of audio in general. I think that's a really interesting space to be right now, because we know that when consumers are on a screen, they're on more than one screen at a time. And it's really difficult to get their attention. And I think that's different in the audio world. People tend to be consuming podcasts or satellite radio when they're on the treadmill at the gym, on the train commuting to work, in the car. And so they're not having their attention diverted to another screen or device. It's a captive audience. And so I think it's an under-leveraged media channel for reaching consumers in the right place at the right time.
Amen. And I will shill again and say that another future episode very soon will be with Pierre Bouvard, the head of research for Cumulus Westwood One. And he is a big proponent, as you might think, of audio, and reminds us that 86% of the U.S. population is still consuming a lot of radio. So there we go. Yes. And what about consumer trends?
I think you hit the nail on the head. Plant-based food and beverage is only going to continue to grow. I think, one, because we've made it so delicious. One of the new products we just launched last year is Silk Next Milk, which is as close as possible in taste and texture to dairy milk with 75% less sugar. So it's actually a better milk. And so we've cracked the code on good for you and good for the planet, but great tasting. And I think it's going to make that a lot easier for flexitarians or dairy fence sitters to dip their toe over the fence and really make the move to plant-based living.
Or ovo-lacto-pesca vegetarians, as the case
may be. Exactly. Yes.
Now, that sort of speaks to my last question, which is about choice. I know that you're in a book club. I'm in a book club. I'm a big consumer of all kinds of television, video, etc. And I find the content choices tremendous, but overwhelming these days. So I would love for you to tell me a couple of your top favorites in all content categories: podcast, books, and television.
So most of my content choices these days are actually dictated by my 13-year-old daughter. I found that consuming media together is actually a great bonding moment. We're both avid readers, and so we've been reading a lot of young adult books together. So those lead to some really good conversation about what we've read and some big important life topics as she navigates the teen years. So I would say the best young adult series we've read recently is The Marrow Thieves, which is kind of a dystopian series of novels that I highly recommend. In terms of TV, we go old school. We are rewatching The Gilmore Girls, which is our favorite show right now, because it also features a single mom and daughter navigating the teen years. So it's very relatable to our day-to-day experience. And then obviously my favorite podcast is yours.
Thank you, Linda. Yay. And with a nod to International Delight, I would assume you're also watching Friends.
Of course. It's an iconic show with iconic characters, and we've created an iconic flavor to go along with it.
And an iconic brand. So you are the consummate consumer marketer, B Corp, espouser, and fabulous parent and friend. And it's been such a privilege to speak with you, Linda Bethay. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed every moment of it.
Yay. Well, I hope you got some good insider scoop from this episode of Insider Interviews with me, E.B. Moss. If you enjoyed this content, please feel free to buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/mossappeal. And I hope you'll follow Insider Interviews on social media and let me know if you have a question or a suggestion for a next stellar guest in media, marketing, and advertising. Speaking of stellar, my theme music was composed and performed by the incomparable Grammy-winning John Clayton. If I can help you with your company's podcast, please find me at mossappeal.com. Thanks again for listening.